Here on today's Lely Radio Sports page with Jared Cheezit from the Iowa High School Athletic Association. Jared, I appreciate you taking the time to visit with me to preview the upcoming high school football season here in the state of Iowa. Let's just start off our conversation talking about, if you look back on last year, how you feel like last year went overall in the first year of this district cycle.
So I felt like the 2023 football season was, like I said, it's always exciting when you start a new district cycle with new opponents, with teams changing, you know, classifications, with the new district layout. Last year, we implemented the social economic classification factor, which also impacted some of those classifications in the first year. I said it's always exciting now, like I said, with new opponents year one. Now with year two, you know, teams are making the return trip to their opponents' place, you know, different venues. Like I said, with this being year two of the cycle now, again, coaches have familiarity with teams in the district, especially, again, with the new format. Depending where teams are at, maybe they saw some new faces last year, but now they just have an idea of what they're going to see after seeing them in person in 23, have an idea what's coming in 24.
You know, and we mentioned a little bit beforehand too, not really much is changing for 24 as it's the second year of a district cycle, but is there any, can you speak on if there is any rule changes at all, or if there's any specific emphasis this upcoming season for, you know, say sportsmanship or safety?
So the beauty of there is one minor national rule change this year, and it talks about the color of the home team's uniforms, which has not been an issue here in our state. So which is great from a coaches and official standpoint that they're not worried about any new rules to implement to the game this year, which is, again, great to our officials. So both parties can actually use this as a year to become better with the current rules of the game, and from an officiating standpoint to also work on their mechanics, as again they're not worried about implementing new facets of the game. Locally, like I said, with our football coaches advisory committee and the Iowa Football Coaches Association, the biggest change, like I said, for your teams in the next, you know, your 3A and your 4A teams in your part of the state for the playoffs, the 17-point tiebreaker is coming back in to help determine the automatic qualifiers in district play. So it'd be the same criteria used as 8-player A, 1A, and 2A for the automatic spots. The RPI will still be used for seeding and will still be used to determine the last four at-large spots. But again, the 17-point tiebreaker will make its appearance back in Class 3A and 4A for district games only.
What do you want to see, like in your role, what do you want to see as specific, things that could maybe improve upon, or things that you would like to see continued to put emphasis on in terms of that sportsmanship aspect of the game?
I think the biggest thing is that our coaches are our role models for our young men on the field. How our coaches interact with our officials sets the tone of how our players in the field are going to interact with those officials, then also those fans of the game when they see a coaching staff, how they interact in a positive or negative light adds a little fuel to the fire as that will too. So if our coaches can lead by example, we know it's a passionate game. We know during the course of a football game, with when you throw in everything, we're talking about 130 plus snaps. A lot of things can happen. We've got either 16 or 22 individuals on the field with five individuals trying to get everything right. And sometimes are calls missed? Yes. Sometimes, even from a coaching standpoint, the coaches aren't perfect when they maybe should have thrown the football on third and four rather than elected to run. And we're also relying on 14 to 18 year old kids making the right decision at all times as well too. But again, if our coaches can be in a positive light, working with our officials, our kids, and our fans can also see our coaches lead by example.
Can you kind of run down real quick, if somebody's listening to this and they may not know or may not have any idea of how it works, but, you know, in terms of playoffs or going into the playoffs, what the tiebreak scenarios kind of look like a little bit?
Yep. So like I said, when we're talking about the 17-point tiebreaker, we're only looking at district games. So our first criteria will be looking at your district record. So if in a clean scenario with the 16 districts, if someone is 5-0, they're your champ, 4-1 be your runner-up. Then we work with our smaller schools with have 32 teams, 3-2, 2-3. Again, that's the quote-unquote clean way because there's no tiebreakers in that scenario. If we have a tie within the district standings, we are looking at head-to-head competition. So again, it's clean if two teams are tied at 4-1 on top of the standings because head-to-head competition will determine that champion to see who's that, at 4-1. That's what, like I said, the 17-point tiebreaker comes into play when we have when head-to-head competition cannot be determined. So that's, think about it as your three-way tie. Three teams, all 4-1 in district play. They've all beaten each other. So A's beaten B, B's beaten C, and C has beaten A. That's when we have to look at the 17-point differential. So we're looking at margin of victory. Caps at 17 points. And if a game were to go to overtime, we look at it's only worth 1 point either way. So there is no advantage of, you know, a late score. Plus, you know, we get the touchdown, it's fine. We're not worried about the two-point conversion or a PAT to potentially put somebody in or out of the playoffs if we get to overtime.
Do you know specifically if the state of Iowa is unique in a way that their district games and who they play in their district is really solely the thing that determines where they're going to be at in the playoffs based on their 9 district games?
Each state does it a little differently. Like I said, Nebraska has district football. They have, with their small classes, they have, again, their district standings that determine it. And then for their initial round, then they ultimately use a PowerPoint system. Like I said, South Dakota goes district football, and they go east-west to put their brackets together. Everyone does a little differently. Like I said, we go to the east of us. Illinois is still playing conference football. And their coaches and schools can't agree on whether or not that's the best method or not, because similar to what we're seeing in our state, schools are changing, schools are being added, schools are being dropped, and conferences are just simply changing. So that's, you know, kind of led to the creation of district football here back in the early 90s.
Yeah, and one other thing I was going to ask you too is, you know, now that we're in year two or entering year two of the district cycle, what's the process a little bit look like for the Iowa High School Athletic Association to kind of start getting matchups and districts ready for next year?
So, you know, within the first 3 weeks of competition, we will start sending correspondence out to our athletic directors to see what their plans are for next year. You know, we'll have some schools that, you know, they already share that they'll renew their sharing agreements. For most schools, it's a very easy process of, hey, we're continuing to play 11-player football. We'll have a handful of schools that are going to be borderline depending on what their school enrollment is on whether or not they are eligible for 8-player football or not, or if they're going to have to go about you know, bump back up to 11, or they can go from 11 and play or become eligible for 8-player. So we're kind of in a whole week. That's our first step, but then we are in a holding process until we receive the data file from the Department of Education after count day, which again, I believe is that first Friday in October, when they can start putting classification, or, you know, collect the data from across the state. We usually do not receive any classification data until the first of the year. And a couple years ago, we did not receive it until the state basketball tournament, which was part of the delay of when that was released. So we are at the mercy of the DE of getting us the information so we can start putting together the giant puzzle pieces that put together for district football before we start the whole scheduling process. So it can be a slow and tedious process depending on how quickly we receive that data from the DE.
Well, Jared, kind of before we close up our interview, any final thoughts from you on your end and just kind of the excitement that surrounds another football season upon us?
I think the biggest thing is everyone gets excited for the start of the school year, and it's because of a football Friday night. It's a great community event, just not with the athletes and coaches on the field, but with the cheerleaders on the sidelines, with the marching bands, with pregame and halftime. It is truly a great showcase of our schools in Iowa, and we need to take advantage of what we have. Knowing it's a short season, it's for some schools it's 8 weeks, for others it's 9, and before we know it, it's going to be November 22nd. We'll be crowning our last state champion for the 2024 school year in the sport of football. So let's enjoy what we can, because when we have week 0 games on the 23rd, week 1 on the 30th, and then next thing you know, we are full fledged road to the dome. And again, November 22nd, we'll be here before we know it.
Thanks so much, Jared. I appreciate your time and the preview for the upcoming football season.
Thanks for having me. Like I said, best luck to all the area schools and your part of the state.